1 Corinthians chapter 3, just want to give you a thought today from 1 Corinthians 3. Let's go ahead and read verses, 1, maybe through 11. We'll see if we go that whole way or not. But let's go ahead and start in 1 Corinthians 3 and in verse number 1. It says, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I'm of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither is he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." Let's pray. Thank you, God, for this passage. Thank you for this time together. Bless this message as it goes forth. I pray it be everything that you'd want it to be. Open our hearts and ears to your word tonight. Feed us tonight, I pray. Give us something from your word that we can be helped with, that it might also help us to know you better and to know our role better as believers and those within the local church God, you've put here in Acton. God, help us now, I pray, and we'll thank you, God, for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so we find the context of this passage is Paul, and he is encouraging the church to unify around the purpose of the church and not a man. Kind of picked up in there, you know, where they would say, "Oh, I'm of Paul or I'm of Apollos," because that it's kind of like in the day today, like I'm of this school or I'm of that school or I follow this guy or that guy, whatever. It's not about people. What we do. It's all about Jesus Christ and about the souls that he has put us on this earth and in this place to reach with the gospel message of Christ. So the purpose of the church is, and really, if we really boil down our purpose as a church, I mean, we had a good time there tonight and all that, you know, fellowship and all that. I love to eat together, fellowship together, all kinds of things, everything. But the purpose of the church is to really see people saved, baptized, and discipled. That's it, right? It's called the Great Commission. Jesus was resurrected, was on earth for another 40 days before he ascended. And when he ascended off the Mount of Olives, just before that, he gave the Great Commission. The last thing on earth that he gave to his people. And he said it wasn't just for you, but then to teach others also, right? Teach them to do that same thing. And do this until the end of the world. That's what he said. I'll be with you until the end of the world. And so we know that this is the purpose of our church. This is the purpose that we exist as a church. There's help that can be received here, right? Help for our lives. There's encouragement that can be received here. We are called to edify the body. But why do we edify the body? Ultimately, so that we all can be that member fitly joined together and compacted so that every joint can supply. Supply to what? The purpose of the ministry, which is to reach people with the gospel, to see them baptized, and then, of course, to disciple them so that they can do the same thing. And so in order for us to accomplish our purpose to do this, we just need to understand, first off, that that's primary, right? Because if it's not primary, then it'll never happen. Amen? Because everything else will get in the way. But that is our primary objective. If you look at every ministry we have, ultimately, that is the purpose of the ministry. Even when at the skating party and all that we had, I was looking for people to go sit beside and talk to, amen. I'm skating around trying to talk to people and all that, and then sitting down chatting with people. Why? Because that's what we do. That's what not just at a church activity, but all the time, amen. We're constantly on the lookout for people to talk with. We were blessed to go to the mission last night, Hannah, Aramis, and I, and got to preach to the guys there. They did a great job singing. and got to preach, and then hanging out afterwards. What are you doing? Just talking to people, amen. Talking to people, find out where they're at, just giving the gospel, amen. Finding if they're saved, what's going on in their lives, and what's happening. Got to invite a guy to church. He's like, oh, that's a little ways away. I said, that's not far away. It's just 20 minutes, you know, down the road and all that. And he goes, I said, if you want to come, you give me a call, I'll come get you. He goes, you do that for me? I go, absolutely. Absolutely. Amen. Say, why? Because he's a person, amen, and he needs the Lord just like everybody else, or at least encourage. He sounds like he might be saved, amen. But that's what we do. That's who we are. Why do we have youth ministries? To reach them with the gospel of Jesus Christ, amen. Why do we do anything? Why do we do what we do? Why do we come together on Sunday mornings and Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night? Why? Because ultimately, we want to be that church that's fitly joined together and compacted, so that we can all supply towards the purpose of the local church. Amen. Our overarching purpose is the commission, the great commission that God has given to us. Amen. And this is why we are a church. This is why we come together. This is who we are. It's not about what I get. It's about what I get to do for the Lord. Amen. It's about ministry. Amen. And I praise the Lord that I receive things just being here. I receive encouragement. I receive help. I receive prayer. I receive a lot of things, but that's not primary. For me, the primary reason that I am a part of this church is so that I can be used by God to help fulfill the heartbeat of Jesus Christ, which is to seek and to save that which is lost. And that's what he said his commission was in Luke 19:10 as well. Look over at 2 Timothy chapter number 2. 2 Timothy chapter number 2. When this is the reason we exist, it puts everything else into a proper perspective. When we lose this as the reason, the primary overarching reason, when I lose that, it skews everything else. And it allows this, life is about me. And we could say that we don't get that way, but the reality is that we do. And we often operate that way. Life is about me, and I get it. If you're not taken care of, how can you be who you need to be to everybody else? I get that. But ultimately, our overarching purpose, the thing that we should strive for, is the ability to reach people with the gospel of Christ. You do realize Jesus is coming again. Brother Alexander put out a YouTube the other day. Micah was talking about it. It came across my phone last night, and I had just started it, and then Kaylee came down. And it's 40 minutes, but I did it on 1.5 speed. So I don't know what that works out to. Maybe a half hour, I don't know. Anyway, and he was dealing with refuting someone in reference to the rapture. This guy kind of did poke some, made some comments about him and shot him down on some things. He believes in a quarter rapture, the preterist pre-wrath theory out there. So he was just going through and there's 5 points he gave on why that position's not right. But Kaylee sat down and I praise the Lord that she was interested to sit down and just listen to that. I mean, I praise the Lord for that. I don't know how many kids would do that, 14-year-olds. Amen. I'm just saying, it was a blessing. She sits down and then she says, as he's going through one thing, she's like, because he's talking about how in the seals, because the people that believe the seals are not the wrath of God and that the wrath comes after the seals. If there is 8 billion people on earth, a quarter of the population dies in that time frame. That is 2 billion people. Think of that. 2 billion people are going to die in that time frame on planet Earth. And Kaylee about got choked up a little bit on that. And it's something to consider. That's serious, isn't it? And we hold the keys to the kingdom of God. It's called the gospel. Amen? And so it just puts things into perspective, right? Am I living for me, or am I really trying to get the gospel out? Am I really trying to reach people? That's our purpose. I want to eat. I want to live. I want to have shelter over my head. Amen? I want to be a good father. I want to be a good husband. I want to be a good, you know, I want to be successful in all these different ways. Amen? But at the end of the day, what I'm here for is to get the gospel out. I'm saved. I've been born again. I'm going to heaven. I'm not going to be ushered into hell at the end of my days. I'm saved, and by your testimony, many here are as well. And so we have a commission, and it is to reach people with the gospel. Amen. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2 and in verse number 1. It says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the thing that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." And of course, this is going to be church context. We're teaching others to do what we do in preaching the gospel. Verse 3, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." And the reality in this text is this, is that if the gospel is first in our lives and somebody hurts your feelings, what are you going to do? Are you going to be upset they hurt your feelings? No, because you're going to see right past that, because your overarching understanding and need for them is that they need to be saved. Right? You see somebody that has something you want and all that, are you going to become envious of them? No, because you realize ultimately, we're talking about a lost person, you have something they don't have. And it's the gospel. And whatever you perceive that they have, if they're lost, what you have is better. Why? No Christian should be envious of the lost. Do you realize that this is the best they'll ever have it, and then they're gonna burn forever? So I can't believe you're gonna say, the Bible says that. Where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Why would a Christian ever be envious of a lost person, of their house, of their car, of their reputation, of their clothes, of their hair, of their whatever, amen? Why would a Christian be envious of any lost person, of their fame, of anything? When if you can see, this is why we should see everybody through the understanding of the gospel first. Because if we don't, then something else becomes more important, and it keeps us from seeing that grand need of their life, the need of them being born again. Do you see? So if we see through the gospel first, everything gets put into a proper perspective. If we get this out of order and put the gospel under other things, then we'll never preach the gospel to anybody, because there will always be something more important to talk about that will distract us. It says, "No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." If you're too busy to talk to others, I'm challenged with this. If you're too busy to talk to others, you're too busy. Amen? And we just need to let God help us understand what should be in our life and what shouldn't be in our life, so that we can be a vessel of honor, a vessel for God to use according to his purpose. Amen. It says, and if any man, it says, verse 5, and if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of his fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. We strive lawfully. We strive according to the word of God. Amen. That's how we attempt to accomplish this. We're not going to manipulate people. It's not going to be done with our own charisma, things like that. No, we just preach Christ. We just preach the word. Amen. That's what we do. We love people. We introduce the word to them, and we do all of this lawfully according to the word of God. If we are to have and maintain a unity in our church with this as the overarching purpose, then we have to find that 1 Corinthians chapter number 3 calls our attention to a couple of things. Look back there, please. If we're going to be able to strive, like it says there in 2 Timothy 2, if we're going to be able to strive lawfully, and if we're going to be able to strive as that good soldier and be strong in the grace of Christ Jesus and commit these things to others, then we're going to have to just learn a couple things potentially from 1 Corinthians 3. And we find in this first verse, it says that we must be able to talk with each other as unto spiritual and not as unto carnal. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 1, it says, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual." Now, this is Paul, and he's talking to the church at Corinth, which is made up of professed believers, right? So saints. And so Paul said, "I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ." I have a question, and you guys can give some feedback. How do spiritual people discuss things? Just a couple quick thoughts, nothing long. Yes, Rachel. What does that mean? Excellent, excellent. We discuss things as God sees it. Excellent, excellent. How do spiritually people discuss things? What is it? Raise your hand so I can see you. Then I can call. Yes, yes, Nancy.
Through the Word.
Again, through the eyes of God, through the Word of God. How else? You're all spiritual, right? How do you discuss things? Yes, Emily.
Not arguing.
No arguing, that's right. No arguing. How about not taking things personal? Well, they just don't like me. Really? Are you carnal? Yes.
Swift to listen, slow to speak.
That's good. Yeah, being swift, quick to listen, right? You want to listen and slow to speak, waiting for God to give you something to say, right? Communicating. Yes, Nancy.
Being tempered. In other words,
not losing your temper.
Correct. But don't let anything anger you that they may say,
that's
no
right.
matter what it is.
Spirit control. That's being controlled by the Spirit. Yes, Hannah.
Yourself, lest you also be tempted.
That's right. Not to be high-minded, right? Anybody else? This is good. Rachel?
I was going to say logically.
Reason. The word logos is the word we get word from in the Word of God. Logical. Logical according to the Scripture. We do reason through it, right? We reason through things. Do we reason through based on worldly understanding? You know, you might mention some things, but our true reason comes from where? The Word of God. The always brought back to the Word of God. Luke?
With speech always with grace and seasoned with salt.
Yeah. So that we might know how to answer every man. So, by the way, when we're talking with each other, if the overarching purpose of our church is to reach souls, to see souls baptized after they're saved, and then see them discipled. When we're talking to each other, what are we doing? We are trying to help each other get to that place that we can do what? Reach souls, see them baptized, or the ones we're working with, and then disciple. And so we always keep that in mind. And what this helps with is it gets all of us out of it. It's not about us. It's not about me. It's not about how I feel. It's not about how I'm treated. It's not about how I'm affected. It's about them. Amen? It's about us being used by God to bring about a group of people that are on fire for Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. This is what we're supposed to do. Yes?
I get in a lot of conversations, it seems, every day. And I think one aspect of that is proving all things and holding fast that which is good.
Absolutely. So 1 Thessalonians 5:21, let us prove all things. And so, you may. By the way, we all have preferences. We all have likes. We all have dislikes. I like almost everything. Couple things I don't, amen. I could probably list them on one hand. And then there are things, of course, God says don't, no, that's fine. But then there are preferences, then there are all these different things. We want to be very careful that we learn how to speak in line with the Word of God. I challenge people all the time. Where does that say that in the Bible? Do you know why I'm good at challenging people that way? Because I'm good at challenging me that way. Because I have to make sure that my thinking is in line, not based on what I like, not based on what I dislike, not based on what I want to happen, not based on my will, but based on what God's Word says. And if we do that, that's that spiritual mindedness where we're being forced into the Word of God, amen, where we have to let God control these things, amen? And then if that's how spiritual people discuss things, how do carnal people discuss things? This will be harder because we're not used to this. We're not. What's it? Not stutter? That's true. Some could. Amen. How do carnal people discuss things? I heard. Yes.
Through their knowledge.
Okay. Yeah, maybe their experience, their knowledge. Yep, that's true. That's true. And by the way, their knowledge is the most important, right? What they know is right. That's how the world acts. Is that how you act? I don't know anything. If a man thinketh he know anything, he knoweth nothing as he ought to know. That's what the Bible says. Yes.
They're going to make a lot of emphasis on your
their happiness, right? Right? Because the end goal for a person in the world is that they're happy. They just want to be happy. Whatever makes you happy, right? We just want to make you happy, right? If that makes you happy, go ahead, right? That's the whole worldly philosophy. What about where does manipulation come in with the world? If somebody is not acting like you want them to, what do? You manipulate them. You go behind the scenes and you put pressure on them to make them conform to what you believe is right. Is that right? This is how the world does it. This is how carnal people treat each other. And if you say something that hurts me, that's it. Now I'm offended. And now I'm hurt. And now I'm against you. And now I'm going to go talk about you. I'm going to go slander you. I'm going to make posts about you, if I have that sort of a thing. And I'm just going to make your life miserable until you get things right with me. And by the way, I'm not even going to tell you what it's going to take to get right, but you have to figure it out on your own. And if you ever get there, I'll let you know. Right? This is how the world treats each other, is it not? This is how carnal people treat each other. This is not how we're supposed to treat each other. This is not how you're supposed to treat your family and your loved ones, amen. This is not how we're supposed to treat the brethren, amen. And this is what Paul is saying here. Yes.
Discussing with those that are lost is that they not only contradict themselves, they have no problem contradicting themselves.
You're right. I've watched a thing recently on that very, very thing. It was an interview between the two people, and it was amazing. It was like, this doesn't make sense, but the world doesn't have to make sense. They do.
Especially when someone like me points it out, it's like, you understand that makes no sense. You just contradict. And they're like, hey, whatever, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
I'm okay doing it because I'm my source of truth, right? As long as I'm happy. Whatever makes me feel happy, whatever my will is, this is how it goes. Let's just go and move on real quick so we can keep going. We're running out of time. But in verse 1, it said, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as babes in Christ, which means this. As we see people get saved, people are going to bring this into the church. Is that right? As babes. That's what a babe in Christ, all they know is, in a sense, how they communicated when they were in the world. All of us have done this, and we probably still have some little bit left over from it, amen? And we have to be reminded of this. This is how we operate, and this needs to be worked out through spiritual maturity. We must think spiritually before we're going to speak spiritually. And it says this, look at verse number 3. It says, for ye are yet carnal. Now, watch what he points out here to show that they're carnal. He says, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For one saith, I'm of Paul, another of Apollos. Are ye not carnal? Amen? So envy, strife, divisions. Envy is when we look at others and we desire what they have. And let me just help you out. If you don't have something right now, you just don't have something right now. We have to learn in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. There is not a person in this room that has everything right now that they want. I know what you're saying. And spiritually, you can say, okay, I'm content. But there is not a person in this room that wouldn't mind having something else, right? That prays about things. And there's just something lacking, something you might say, yeah, but they have, or but they, don't give me no buts, amen. We have to learn in whatsoever state we are to be content. Content with who? God. Because ultimately, envy is our disgust with God not giving us what we believe we deserve. That is a carnal thing. What was it? Ryan, at the skating thing, we stopped and he had the mic and he actually gave a really neat little, he read through a song, a hymn. The words, it was a Fanny Crosby, I believe. Is that right? Right? And then he went in and gave the gospel. He mentioned her because she was like blind and deaf, right? Okay. Blind. And in the song, it pointed out that of what she was able to see. It's powerful. I'm butchering it because I wasn't the one doing it. I'm trying to listen, amen. But it pointed out something. So here's a woman who could have very easily been envious of others that had sight. And it would have totally derailed her from being able to commune spiritually with God. And God give her sight, which is far above what we have as physical sight. So here's this woman who lacked physical sight, who gained a spiritual sight that surpassed most. Why? Because she was content with where she was in life. And she didn't become envious of others. Envious of these things, envious of friends, envious of a station or position or age, envious that some other young person could do this, envious of whatever, amen. We are not supposed to be envious. We can't rejoice with others when they rejoice if we're envious of others. And charity is being able to rejoice with others, amen. So envy is a sign of carnality. It doesn't mean you're lost. It just means you're acting as a babe in Christ, one that has not been matured spiritually. Strife is, by the way, only by pride cometh that contention, that strife there. And so strife is where you're constantly in friction with others. There's always an argument, always problems. We call oftentimes drama. Drama's of the devil. Amen. We don't need drama. We need peace. God's called us to be peacemakers, not drama queens and kings. Amen. Amen. We as Christians, we are problem solvers. And we don't get all upset and whacked out about things because something doesn't go right. We know we live in a fallen world. It's okay. Amen. And so we don't live by strife. Some people do. They have to have conflict to live. We as Christians don't. This is a mature thing. But if you have conflict all the time, that is a problem. That is a carnal thing. Divisions. Well, that's it. Fine. I'm just going to take my ball and leave. Right? Kids act that way. That's not how mature Christians should act. Amen. We don't just divide. Amen. We work out things. Amen. And sometimes, no doubt, there might be a time wherever, but that's after a lot of effort went in to try not to let that happen. Amen. I hate that little thing about, Baptists always multiply through division. I hate that thought. Amen. That's not how we're supposed to multiply. We're supposed to multiply by reaching people for Jesus. Amen. With the gospel and working together. I appreciate the different churches we've been able to work with. Are we all exactly the same as they are? No, not at all. Amen. But I appreciate their love for the Lord. I appreciate their love for the gospel. We do agree on the gospel, amen, and trying to get people saved. And there's a lot of things we do agree on. But, you know, you're going to find in life that there's not many people exactly like you. There just isn't. We're all at different stations in life. We're just trying to work along. That's why the Bible has to be our rule book and not our own thoughts on things. And by the way, if you think it's difficult, try pastoring. Amen. It is. It's fielding all of that and working through all those things. You have to be really careful. I just heard of a pastor recently and just dealing with some things on family issues and all that and keeping his people forever and browbeating them a little bit, amen. And you just got to be careful, amen, knowing where your boundaries are. I'd like to be able to go into some homes in our church and say, this is how you do things. Hey, that's not what I'm called to. I mean, I preach the word. I let God's word work on people. And everybody's at different stations in life. Everybody's at different places. If I'm invited in, sure. But I'm not going to insert myself. I have to know my boundaries. Just like we all do. We all have a boundary to things. Amen? And it's just the way it is. And we need to be able to live peaceably with all men and be able to work together and accomplish what God has given for us to accomplish. Amen? In that, that third verse, it talks about being carnal. It goes on from there. And verse number 4. We're going to probably just stop on verse number 4, 4, and 5. Let me get over there real quick. Yeah, verse number, let's go to verse number 5 real quick, and we'll try to conclude here. Who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believe? What Paul did here was he said, I don't matter. Apollos doesn't matter. God matters. Amen. And he says, I've planted, Apollos watered, but it is God that gave the increase. He gives a really important thing here. He says, so then neither is he that planteth anything. Is that good? We're nothing. God is everything. And as soon as we start thinking we're somebody, man, we mess up. And we start operating in a way that now we work for us and not for the overarching goal. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. You see that? No matter what part. When I'm preaching on a Sunday morning or even a Wednesday night, or anybody else that's preaching, and you're a part of the church and you're in the pew, we're one. We are one. That's why I rely on your prayers. I could use an amen here and there just to help me out when you see I'm struggling, amen? Why? Because I need encourage just like anybody else. And we were at the mission last night. I could have used an amen or two from there. I'm just saying, ladies. That's a rough group, amen? But it was fun. It was fun. But we encourage each other. We don't criticize and condemn each other. We encourage each other. Because we're on the same team and we're working for the same goal. We're one. And that's what Paul pointed out here. The devil, through carnal church members, wanted to get Paul and Apollos at odds with each other. And Paul says, no. We're one. No, by the way, we're nothing and we're together. We're one. And that's a strong church that realizes that we are all on that same team, striving and helping each other for the cause of Christ. I love what it says, though. It goes on to say this. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. You're going to be rewarded based on what you do and how you respond. We get all upset because others don't do what they're supposed to do. They're not going to be rewarded for what they're doing wrong or not doing. You don't got to worry about that. It's not going to affect you. You do right. You do what you're supposed to do. If your complaining discourages somebody, then that's on you. Does that make sense? But what about instead of complaining or whatever, encourage them, help them. We all go through a lot of things. We're fixing to go in the next couple of months. And evangelism school, tent meeting. If you think the devil's just going to be happy about us trying to reach out into our community with the gospel, you're crazy. And the devil's going to try to bring out as much carnality as he can in us. And we got to fight it and realize the purpose that we're here is greater than that. It's not about me. It's not about you. We're going to strive together. If you have issues, let's work through it. Let's talk through it. Amen. But it's going to be the Bible's going to be at the center of that attention because that's what really matters. Amen. And so just a little encouragement tonight. Corinth was an interesting church. I believe they accomplished a lot for God, but they had a lot of problems. They had a lot of problems. But Paul didn't say, that's it, we're shutting you down. That's all he said. He says, we're going to work on maturing y'all and get y'all where you need to be, amen. Even though the more I love, the less I'm loved, Paul said. He said, there's enough here. We're going to work this thing out. Corinth needs this church, right? And the same is true here for Acton. Acton needs this church. And as we reach out into our community, let's just keep this in mind. The overarching reason we exist is to get the gospel out, see people baptized, see them discipled, right? And see them going out and doing the same things we're doing. Amen? Keeping that first. That doesn't mean anything goes below it. No, but it means that's how we see people. That's how we see things. The need of the gospel. That's how we see it. And we try to help each other get to that place that we can be faithful at that task individually, but yet also collectively. So good stuff. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for tonight. Thank you for this time together. I pray that you'd help our church, Lord, to be ready and encouraged for the months coming up. Lord, as we reach out, Lord, no doubt there will be a lot of potential issues that pop up because we just know how the enemy works. We're not ignorant of his devices. But help us to be spiritually minded in this thing. Help us to love the people around us and to love Christ and to love the saints, our fellow saints, enough that, God, we're going to strive together for the working of the gospel, for the working of the ministry. We're just going to put our shoulder to the plow and work together and help each other throughout this time and just see what you'll do with it. And, Lord, I pray that we would be spiritually minded, that, God, that you would help us, Lord, not to be carnal. And if in anything we are, and if through the message something was brought up to an individual by you, Lord God, I pray that they would deal with it, that they would get that thing taken care of, not let it lay there and fester and not be dealt with. We know things don't get better when we do that. But, Lord, we shouldn't be an envious people. Lord, we shouldn't be a people that run on strife and problems. And we shouldn't be a people that cause division. The devil does that. He's the one who divides constantly, tries to put wedges in. But it's not you, God, and it's not your people. So help us, Lord, to be problem solvers, to be reconcilers, to be those that are engaged in the ministry of reconciliation. There's nothing that's going on, nothing that happened that can't be solved by your word. Help us to approach all things this way. And Lord, help us to keep the purpose that we exist in the forefront of our thought and mind through all things. Bless, I pray, this time that we've had in the Word. Use it mightily in our lives. In Jesus' name.